Well, it's good to be with you this evening. Now, would you like to turn to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll take our scripture reading from there. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start reading at verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Thus far, and may the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Well, now we're going to talk tonight about dealing with doubts. What are we talking about? What is doubt? Well, I suppose if you want a kind of a sort of an answer, you can say doubt is the opposite of faith. And after all, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 defines faith for us. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see." And so by definition, doubt is the opposite of faith, because when we doubt, well, we are not sure. And when we doubt, we are not certain. And faith is being sure, and faith is being certain. Sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. Well, the problem is this, though, that Christians are sometimes attacked by doubt. When doubts come upon us, it can be very unsettling to our faith. How can it be? If I'm really a believer, why do I have these doubts? If I'm really a Christian, why am I so uncomfortable? Why am I so concerned? Why am I so, at times, fearful? And when doubt and anxiety come, is it because I've been overtaken by some dreadful sin that's gripped my life and put me in this position? And so it's helpful for us to see that although faith may be the opposite of doubting and doubt the opposite of faith, sometimes, because we're human, we have a mixture of the two working within us. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in that excellent book he wrote over 20 years ago now, Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure, said this, actually enlarging on the passage that we've read, and I think it's a very valuable set of comments. He said, "This is a thing for which I thank God, that doubts are not incompatible with faith. I have many times in my pastoral experience found people who've been made very unhappy because they have not grasped that principle. Some people seem to think that once you become a Christian, you should never be assailed by doubts. But that's not so. Peter still had faith. Our Lord said to him, 'Oh, thou of little faith.' He didn't say, 'Peter, because you have doubts, you have no faith at all.' That's what many people ignorantly think and say, and it's very wrong. Though you have faith, you may still be troubled by doubts. And there are examples of this not only in Scripture, but also in the subsequent history of the Christian Church. Indeed, I would go as far to say, says Dr. Lloyd-Jones, at the risk of being misunderstood, that if anyone has never been troubled by doubts in his or her Christian life, Such a person would do well to examine the foundations again and make certain that they're not enjoying a false peace or resting in what I would call a presumptuous believism. Read the lives of some of the greatest saints that ever trod this earth, and you will find that they've been assailed by doubts. Our Lord here surely gives the final word on this. Doubts are not incompatible with faith. You may have doubts and still have faith, a weak faith. Now, there are all sorts of levels at which doubt can come upon us and attack us as Christians. Sometimes it may be at the most basic level of all, and I guess this is very uncomfortable. We may even doubt the very existence of God. Now that is severe. In Hebrews chapter 11, which defines faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, says that without faith it's impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. But what about when we doubt even the very existence of God? And it can happen. And you know, it's not just, says the writer to the Hebrews, that we must believe that he exists, but we must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He's not only a God who exists, but he's a God of revelation. Sometimes doubt comes in at that level. We wonder about the revelation of God. Is it really true that God has spoken to us in the Scriptures? Can we be sure that what the Bible tells us is the truth? And sometimes we have doubts. That's not about the existence of God, but about whether what the Bible says is really true and reflects the truth about God. And so we could go on. We can be attacked by doubts about the most fundamental things relating to our salvation. We can doubt our justification. Therefore, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But sometimes we don't have that peace. Oh, it should be the basic portion of our life, but you know, and I know that sometimes we don't live up to the truth that's been revealed to us. Perhaps we have behaved in a way that's inappropriate, a way that's downright sinful. And we lose our sense of peace with God. And then we wonder if any of it is true at all. Maybe this whole thing about salvation, about justification, about being forgiven, maybe it's not really true at all. Maybe it's all just imagination. So we can doubt our justification. We can doubt our sanctification. You know, as God works in our lives and as we're beginning to be remade in the image of Christ, we're beginning to experience what it is about being the new creation. It doesn't happen overnight. God forgives us and makes his children in a moment of time. We pass from death to life. Justification is a once-for-all action on the part of God. But sanctification takes a lifetime. And the process has its ups and downs. Have you ever been like that? There's something in your life that perhaps has control of you. Some besetting sin. And just when you thought you'd got the victory over it and you'd gained control, it happened again. And now you're doubting. Am I really a Christian? Is God really at work in my life? Because I've blown it again. And you know, Christians can even doubt their eternal salvation because of things like that. Is it really true that I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption? Is it really true that my eternal destiny is secure in the nail-pierced hands of the Saviour who gave himself for me? Or could it be that I'm such a poor quality Christian that God's going to give up on me and I'm going to be lost in the end anyway? And these are the sorts of doubts that can come. And then there are so many other areas. I mean, we could go on and I could take up all the available time listing different kinds of doubts that I've experienced myself or that I've talked to other people who are experiencing. But I don't think that would be profitable. And anyway, it might just give you ideas about doubts for yourself that you didn't have before. So why don't we leave the matter there? We've given enough examples to illustrate what we're talking about. What causes doubts? Why do believers? I mean, we're talking about believers. I mean, people who basically are believers. Now, believers are not people that are walking around doubting. They're people who believe. Why do believers have doubts? Why do they come upon us? Well, sometimes it's the result of circumstances. I mean, what do we do when something really hits us? I don't think there's any child of God who doesn't at some time or another in her or in his Christian career say, why did God let that happen? And it's only a step from saying, why did God let that happen, say, to saying something like, if there's a God, and he's a God of love, and he's all powerful, how could something like that happen? And do you notice the subtle difference? The doubt's now coming in. It's not, why did God let that happen? That's just amazement, wonder, questioning. And we move from there very quickly to doubt. If there's a God, how could it happen? And so sometimes it's circumstances, particularly when we're face to face with tragedy and with problems. And it's the external circumstances that shake our internal faith. Sometimes it's the attack of the enemy himself. He's only going to find a chink in the armor, you know. That's why we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 that we need that full armor of God to fight it back against the evil one. Well now, let's have a look then. We've got to have the belt of truth buckled around our waist. But sometimes, you know, we haven't mastered the teachings of the Word of God, and there's some point of Christian doctrine on which we're not really assured because we haven't studied the Scriptures to see whether these things are so. And Satan just loves to find a weak point like that, and he can get in with one of these little dots of doubt. And he's there doing that very thing. You need the breastplate of righteousness in place. Well, if your heart's not being guarded by righteousness, Satan can get at you. You need the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see, I like the picture that Paul's using there. When I say doubt comes from Satan, can't you just see that picture? If I remember rightly, there's a passage in the Pilgrim's Progress where Pilgrim is attacked by Apollyon, who hurls at him these flaming darts of doubt, which he has to catch with the, or shield off, fend off with the shield of faith. But Satan is very capable of finding little chinks in our armor, places where he can get in. Look, he's been doing it since the days of the Garden of Eden. How did he get to the woman? Why, he says to her, is it really true that God has said you can't eat of every fruit? And there's that little chink of doubt, you see. Is it really true, casting doubt on what God had said? And it worked so successfully with our first parents that Satan's been using it against the human race ever since. So there are these various circumstances from outside, and the attack of Satan from outside. But then there are internal causes of doubt. You know, it's much easier to get into a state of doubt and anxiety when we're tired. And when we're feeling miserable, and when we're feeling unhappy, and when we're not well, my wife and I were visiting a lady this afternoon, and one of the reasons why we visited was that it had been reported to us that she had not been well, and in her illness had been thinking of giving up on some of the activity that she was doing for the Lord and so on. So we felt we would go and visit her and pray with her and encourage her. Well, we found her much better. She's got over the problem, and sure, it had been a 3-week bout with a virus which had really knocked her low. But now that she's got over, she said, well, the whole world looks different now that I'm feeling better again. And you can just see how Satan took advantage of her physical condition to come in and attack her. So I guess we were a bit late with the pastoral work, but it was great to just share with her and reaffirm with her and pray with her, and then go on our way rejoicing, both she and us. So, but there it is. What's going on in our bodies affects the way we feel in our souls and spirits. Man is a unitary being. For convenience, we can talk about the body and the soul and the spirit, but things that happen in the body affect the soul and the spirit as well, and the other way around. So what about our souls? Well, you know, I mean, some people are more prone to doubt than others just by temperament. I mean, one of the disciples was famous for his doubt. We even call him Doubting Thomas. He is a man who, when everyone else is rejoicing on Resurrection Day, we've seen the Lord. No, I don't believe it. Not unless I actually put my finger into the nail prints and my fist into the spear mark on his side. Only then will I believe. Well, that's the way Thomas was. He'd always been like that earlier in the Gospel. When Jesus said, let's go up to Jerusalem, Thomas said, oh, well, we might as well go along and die with him. This is that kind of bloke. You know, every church has got at least one. I don't know how many you've got here. We've got several over at West Pennant Hills. They like that. They can always just see the problems in every situation. And by nature and by temperament, they're inclined to be doubtful about everything. And then some of us, of course, we're very enthusiastic, and that's what gets us into trouble. Now, that's Simon Peter here. I mean, it's all very well criticizing Peter because he started sinking, but Peter was the only one who had enough faith to get up and out of the boat and try walking on water. And because Peter was prepared to give it a go, that's why he got himself into trouble. So some of us get into doubt because we don't believe anyway and we've got a doubtful disposition. And some of us get into doubt because we're only too prepared to venture out. And then only after we've stuck our foot into the water do we see the wind and the waves as Peter did, and we begin to sink and we cry out, Lord, save me. That's got a lot to do with our temperament. Sometimes doubts are intellectual things. I'm all for Christians using the mind that God has given them. It's got to be used right. You know, we've got to take every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to allow our thoughts to be uncontrolled can be a way to doubt and then on to despair. Our emotions. You know, Peter got caught by his emotions. Yeah, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Oh, doubt, anxiety, they go hand in hand. When we're anxious, we become doubtful. When we're doubtful, we become anxious. Emotions. And our wills. Peter was prepared to step out. He made his move. He made his decision. But that alone wasn't enough to carry him through in the circumstances in which he found himself. You see, it may be also not a matter of our body or of our soul and our natural being. It may be a question of the spirit. You know, the spirit, I believe, is that part of a human being which relates to God. Now, the Apostle John writes in his letter 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. And that's a beautiful relationship. Walking in the light as God is in the light, full and open fellowship with God. Not much room for doubt under those circumstances. But sometimes there are a few dark clouds that come across, and it brings a shadow on our relationship with God. And that's when doubt comes in. So if we're not walking in the light, sure, we're going to have problems with doubt. We looked at some of the causes. Now, how do you deal with them? Now, I really believe there's no one simple answer to this. I think the principle is quite clear. There's a story that's told a little later in Matthew's Gospel, but it's also told in the Gospel of Mark with a few extra details. It's just after they came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And there was a man there with a son with an evil spirit in it, in him, and this evil spirit used to cause the child to have what sounds like an epileptic fit and foam at the mouth and gnash his teeth and become rigid and fall into the fire and so on. And they bring him to the disciples, and the disciples can't cast out the spirit. They bring him to Jesus, and Mark's account of it runs like this. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered, and so on. "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And Jesus did just that and rebuked the evil spirit and cast him out. Isn't that just like us? And we all got a bit of a mixture of faith and doubt. "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." So how do we deal with doubt? How do we put this principle into practice? "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Well, if it's a matter of external circumstances that are causing us to doubt, we need to rely on the revealed truths of the Word of God. It's not always easy to see it from our human perspective. Romans 8:28 teaches us in unequivocal terms that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. And if we have difficulty understanding that at times, it's just because from our human limited perspective, our limited human perspective, we can't see everything yet. Paul goes on to enlarge on that and then ends with this triumphant statement. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So if doubt's coming from our circumstances, we need to lay hold of this truth from the Word of God, that God works for the good of those who love Him in all things, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. If the doubt is coming from the attack of Satan himself, as it well may do, we need to resist him. "Resist the devil," says the writer, "and he will flee from you." Use that armor of God of which Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 6. If the doubt's coming from internal causes, well now. If it's a question of our bodies, if we're physically unwell, well, let us take appropriate treatment. If it's because we're overtired, let us pursue a pattern of sensible rest and recreation, and so on. If it's coming from within our souls, well, let's be aware of the sort of factors. It's a sign of maturity when we begin to recognize the kind of people that we really are. If I know that I'm by nature a doubting person or an impetuous person, and I'm aware of this and I'm able to say, now, Lord, give me grace to handle situations more wisely than I'm in the habit of doing. If it's a question of our minds and the way they wander and the thoughts with which they come up, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us we are to take every thought into captivity to Christ. If it's a matter of our emotions, fear that leads to doubt that feeds on fear, let's cry out like Peter did to the Lord. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And I know it sounds trite and you've probably heard it before, but really what we do need to do is get our eyes off ourselves and our own predicament and get them on the Lord and place our trust in Him. It's faith rather than feelings that will bring us through periods of doubt and anxiety. And if it's a matter of our wills, well, if we're in rebellion against God and being disobedient to Him, we needn't be surprised if we become the victims of doubt. But if our lives are committed to being lived out under the Lordship of Jesus Christ in submission and dependence, then we may call upon Him as Peter called upon Him and experience His help as Peter experienced His help. And we will hear the Master say, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" But He only says that when He reaches out and catches us and brings us safely home into the boat. Let's pray. Lord, help us to recognize that doubts can arise and to deal with them in the spirit of faith, so that as we have trusted You and by faith have become sons and daughters of the living God, so we might live by faith. As we receive Christ Jesus as Lord, may we walk by that same faith and therefore experience Your victory over doubt and anxiety, which will surely come our way through various circumstances of our lives and the attack of the evil one. So preserve us, we pray, and give us Your peace. Guard our hearts with the peace of God, that we might rejoice in You. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.